Welcome to City on a Hill Gaming, a tabletop RPG actual play podcast. To find out more, download episodes wherever you get podcasts, or visit us online at cityonahillgaming.com, or by sending us an email at cityonahillgaming@gmail.com. You can also support us on patreon.com/cityonahillgaming. We hope you enjoy our show.
Welcome to Lake Geneva 75, part of City on a Hill Gaming's Lamplighters Guild, and I'll be your referee, Greg.
Greg, do you want us to have a paladin?
If we had Peter, yes.
Yeah.
We wouldn't
Peter
have
doesn't
choice.
Get options. Peter would have be the paladin, yes.
Peter plays every class as a paladin anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, don't worry, Peter in, will be real life, again.
In real life, Peter is a paladin. He is a paladin.
Yes. This is true.
I believe his time on Bard and the Bible, with the Bard and Bible with you, he actually... His character that he voiced was a paladin.
It was.
Mine was an annoyed player.
Oh, I vaguely remember that, yeah.
It's your episode.
Yeah, we did do that, didn't we? Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I was trying to dig back in memory banks. Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, everybody also listened to Bard and Bible.
I should remember that. It was like last year.
That was your episode.
See,
Brian, I'm actually glad you took the cleric, because I was good. If I had to take the cleric, I was gonna say I want to be a cleric, but I'm actually by class a wizard.
I did that for one of Peter's games. Actually, I played a former nun who was a wizard, but he allowed a theurgist subclass for the wizard.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. I really liked that character.
Would I be as like, you know, I'm spells, man. My spells are here and they're all in Latin. And then I'd have to read it as a Southern Pentecostal preacher in Latin in church. And they think I'm a former Pentecostal preacher, for anybody who doesn't know, so I can say this. So if I started reading Latin in the church, they'd think I was speaking in tongues.
I know somebody who did that. Well, I know of.
E pluribus unum.
I know somebody who had a friend that actually went into a Pentecostal church and did that. They started speaking Latin and ancient Greek.
Yeah.
Not to say anything against our Pentecostals and charismatics around here. That is not indicative of all Pentecostal and charismatic folks. We have a very great array of people sitting here. Catholic, charismatic. Yeah, Episcopal with Southern Baptist heritage. I don't remember what Brian is these days.
Lately, it's been a charismatic Anglican.
Are you ready for some very interesting history, since you are in Los Angeles and you bring up charismatic Anglicans?
Oh, I'm...
The charismatic church, the Assemblies of God charismatic church. Formed in Los Angeles.
No, it did not. Not the Assemblies of God.
Okay, not the Assemblies of God. But I don't know the difference between Pentecostals and Assemblies of God. I know there is a difference.
Pentecostal is the general term. Okay. All right. Here's your lesson now.
Assemblies is a denomination.
And listening.
Your
church history lesson. I actually specialized in church history, but as a former Pentecostal preacher, I studied the history a lot. So the Pentecostal movement was a movement that began that was typified by emotional outbursts of religion. But that was also very similar to before the Pentecostal movement came along. Pentecostal was actually a term used before the movement began. Pentecostals began in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And they became known as a group that believed in a second blessing after salvation, which had already been taught in other denominations. But that second blessing was now called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and was an empowerment for Christians for service. And the only evidence of that, the only evidence you needed, was the initial speaking in other tongues. That was a sign that you'd been empowered by God. Brief side note, many people went overseas thinking that because they'd received that, they could now speak in another language, and ended up in countries where they couldn't speak the language, sadly. That said, the charismatic movement began in the 50s among Episcopalians and in Los Angeles. So that actually begins in the 1950s when an Episcopalian priest and many in his congregation began to experience these things, like speaking in tongues, healing, and all of these other divine supernatural gifts. They began to experience them in their church, but they did not consider themselves Pentecostals because they did not believe that everyone had to have that initial experience of speaking in other tongues. So now, really want to know something cool about the history of Los Angeles. The Pentecostal movement did take off there in the early 1900s, and it was due to an African-American black preacher whose name escapes me in this moment, but he had been trained under a rather racist Pentecostal preacher where he couldn't even sit in the classroom. He had to sit out in the hallway. But then he came to Los Angeles, began preaching and teaching on that topic, and the church became an interracial church in the early 20th century, to where one writer by the name of Frank Bartleben wrote, "The color line is lost in the blood of Jesus." So the early Pentecostal movement was typified by white folks, black folks, Asian folks, everybody coming together. Whereas the charismatic movement early on was typified in mainly white circles. The Assemblies of God is just one of the many Pentecostal denominations that came out of that Pentecostal revival.
Are you talking about William Seymour?
Yes, William Seymour. Okay. Thank you.
I say that because I looked up, because I think you're talking about Azusa Street.
Yes, mm-hmm. The Azusa Street revival.
Because I am Pentecostal, and they're the West Coast version of the East Coast Pentecostal launch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot about Azusa over the years. And half of what you said to describe Pentecostal was things I was taught as a child or from my years in what's called Bible quiz, which is a big thing in the Church of God. And I'm just like nodding things I remember as you say them. Like,
mm-hmm. Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee.
That's right.
I was an Assemblies of God minister through most of the 1990s. I was in the Assemblies of God, went to Assemblies of God University, became, I forget what they called the first level. They have like three levels you go through to before ordination. But I was a licensed minister in the Assemblies of God for most of that time. Went to the Assemblies of God University with a lot of folks that were Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. You say Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, because there are two very popular Church of God denominations. One is in Cleveland, Tennessee, which is Pentecostal. And then the other is in Anderson, Indiana, which is Holiness, is a holiness denomination similar to the Wesleyan Church.
There's also an extra Pentecostal one that is also in Cleveland that is the Church of God.
Yes,
yeah. Versus Church of God. Both headquarters in Cleveland.
And then you have the Pentecostal Church of God, which is really funny because they're an offshoot of the Church of God.
I don't think I ever mentioned this to you, Derek, that I actually... Ultimately, my degree wound up being from an AG school.
Yeah. No, you didn't tell me that one. Which one?
I went to the Art Institute of Colorado, and the Art Institute's network was purchased by the Crystal Cathedral. So eventually I wound up all of my friends went to AG schools. I'm like, I'm not going to go to an Assemblies of God college, but I wound up with a degree from them anyway.
Yeah. Which school did you graduate from?
The Art Institute of Colorado.
Oh, that was an AG school.
While I was there. It was purchased by the Crystal Cathedral after I graduated.
Oh, wow. That's crazy, man. And then
closed for fraud, unfortunately, which shouldn't happen to
Christian school.
Hey, I was a Pentecostal preacher originally from Louisiana. Two words for you, Jimmy Swagger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm in DFW.
But for some reason, they don't seem to learn the lessons.
Derek, remind me at some point to tell you where I used to work. When you said swagger, that got my attention.
I'll tell you a close good friend of mine. He was at my ordination when I was ordained in the United Methodist Church. Is Jay Baker? That's Jim Baker's son.
That also relates to where I used to work.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Have you ever heard of Sky Angel?
Oh yeah.
Sky Angel Network, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I used to work for Sky Angel, used to have has two yeah. had two headquarters, and one of them is in Tennessee.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I am
I'm familiar with
unfortunately
it.
Yeah. familiar with both what? Mr. Baker and Mr. Swaggart.
Yeah, I thought Sky Angel should have played Ska, you know, Sky Angel.
Yeah. I'd have been happier on night shift if I'm being honest.
Get a little Gwen Stefani in there from the 90s.
Oh, that would have been
I was gonna say I don't think I could see them playing Five Iron Frenzy though.
No, no, we had a station for that. We did have a station that was Christian. Well, I'll say Christian rock. Five Iron Frenzy might be a little more niche than that, but we got close. Where I found Icon for Hire is a band whose first album is great, and the rest of them are not as great.
When I first moved back down to Texas, my friends I was with actually went to college with Ariel, and really? When they were touring around, and Icon for Hire came down here, I got to hang out with them and like ride around in their tour bus for a little while.
Nice. I really love that first album. It's really good.
And I got engaged at a Five Iron Frenzy concert, and my wife has Reese's actual signature on her photograph for the I forget what they're called, the thing around the concert, not the ticket,
the
thing with like the band photo, yeah, the program. So she has Reese's actual signature with his real name.
Oh,
because his first name isn't Reese.
Hashtag band life.
I know it because I haven't. We actually just had to get that reframed because it got damaged in the flood. Well, the glass broke on the shadow box, and then it got flood damage.
Lame.
We've.
Yeah. Okay. So now that we've had all these lovely detours, hopefully all of y'all have been having character ideas in the back of your head. So, like I mentioned, all of you as player characters, all of your characters are childhood friends in some way. Like, y'all did the same thing together. Y'all hung out at Frank's Game Shop and played war games together, because this would be roughly probably the early to mid 60s. So there were not tabletop RPGs yet. There were war games. And sometime in my life, I would like to find H.G. Wells' board game manual. Actually, I did find it online. I want to read it.
I'm intrigued. Okay, so we're in we're in our 30s.
20s or 30s, yeah.
20s or 30s, okay.
Yeah, H.G. Wells wrote two game manuals as well. He wrote Floor Games, which was the first one he wrote, which was based upon the games he saw his young boys playing on the floor.
Interesting.
And he wrote another one that I don't remember the name of offhand. It's an incredibly long title, but I know this because of Satanic Panic, and I just absolutely thought it was interesting. And this is the same time I was learning that interesting connection between his great-grandson and the 2002 movie.
Mm-hmm.
H.G. Wells wrote like the first published full rule set for wargaming, based upon his boys playing with their toy soldiers.
Fascinating.
Called Little Wars.
Yeah, that's the name of it. Little Wars, war games for boys aged like 12 to some weird number, or girls who like playing boys games. Like I said, really long title.
Yeah. It is, yes.
So yes, thank you, Derek. That was really interesting information. And you can find scans of Little Wars online.
Makes sense.
I don't know if you can find it in print anywhere, but...
They released an updated version in 04, so it's probably in print.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that's still in print. That's 20 years ago. Yeah, there's some paid for you. That was 20 years... You were in high school then. Let that one sink in.
Yeah.
Emma was 9.
I was indeed 9.
I don't remember.
I just met my lifelong best friend 2 years earlier.
Nice.
Yeah, let's make y'all feel old.
2004? We were on the playground playing horses, and I tripped and scraped my entire face.
Ooh.
It was a fun time.
That's why you should have stuck with the floor games.
Yeah, I know.
No horses. Okay, how do we know each other?
What did you all do together besides play war games at Frank's?
I mean, presumably we went to school together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was everybody in the same grade, same class?
It would make sense if we were around.
Yeah.
Within 1 or 2 years of air.
Yeah.
This is fine.
And we can look up the name of the school later, since this is an actual city. We'll have an actual school name.
Probably Lake Geneva High School.
It's not, actually. I looked at it earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it might not be high school. It might be elementary school, even. Because... called
Badger High School.
Hmm.
Not Honey Badger High School?
No.
Well, that would have been much better.
Predates the meme.
What he said.
Badger, 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 badger.
Mushroom, mushroom.
Mushroom, mushroom. Badger, 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 badger.
I was seeing that.
I would say high school because that's more likely when you would have been doing war games in the 60s.
Yeah.
The little kids wouldn't have been doing as much war games because that could, I mean, you're having to get miniatures and terrain and all of this. So, yeah. Yeah.
So how many years has it been since you are all together last?
So we're like, just like assume we're like 30 or something. It's been like a dozen years.
Yeah, so we're all 30. Yeah. If we wanted to, we could say we're all like, or we could go with 28. We're coming up like on our 10-year high school reunion.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're all in our late 20s.
That would be a good reason why you're back, while you're all back in town, too. If you haven't lived in town in those past 10 years.
Yeah, I think that'd be really good. We're all back for high school reunion.
That's not spelled right. Oh, there's. Yay, fixed it. I know some of you have character names already in the thing, so I'm going to pull those over, but I don't know if all of you have character names yet.
I should put that in there. I shall be Bill Olson.
And then that makes Derek Uned.
What's that?
Your character name.
Oh, yes, character name.
If you want to be Uned, you can, but I figured you might want to
change it. No, let me give you a character name.
Yes, this is nice. You get to use, like, normal modern names ish modern ish normal ish this is the 70s
ish.
Let's see, you are 28 in 1975,
so that means
you were born in roughly 1947 or right around there.
So can you see what I'm googling in 1940s?
Let's see, Stephen was a
man. That makes me a boomer. Dang, I'm a boomer. Damn.
Y'all are boomers, not no Gen Xers. Y'all are boomers. You wanted to be 75. You could have made it be 95 and been Gen Xers.
Excuse you, I'm a Zillennial.
Oh, heaven help us all. Okay.
I don't care.
I kind of figured you didn't, actually.
Yes, our group here consists of two Gen Xers, two Millennials, and a Zillennial. Words.
Wait, am I millennial?
I don't think that is a word, no.
Millennial. This
name sounds like a locksmith. Ray.
What are you trying to say?
Ray.
Hey.
Ray. Oh, yeah, your last name. Ray. Yeah, let's not do that. No, I don't want that confusion there. Man, so many of these names are so common, it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, you don't have, like, a fantasy name generator. You just have a phone book.
Yeah, I'm just...
1975 phone book. Flip to a random page.
See, so many of these names have so many connotations with me. It's like, I know that guy!
That's what I was doing all through Tales from the Loop, was I was like, I'm just going to name these characters after my parents' friends.
Yep.
Aren't you happy that I am...
Swap the first and last names.
Went with a weird name for my character in that game, so you don't have to make a connection to anything. Oh, wow.
Tom. Thomas. Thomas. But I go by Tom. Wait. So,
hey.
That's my middle name.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tom.
It is also my middle name. Well, not spelled like Brian's. Mine is spelled differently.
Yeah. Well, let me get in here into Roll 20 and edit my name. Uned Logabero.
Actually, I think that's Iogabro, because that's an I, not an L.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
I can drag onto that thing.
Yeah.
Very important information.
I'm not used to being on the player's side of Roll20.
Yeah, that's actually new that you can drag it and that you can upload your own images like that.
I can't make it bigger though, so it's not helping me any.
Oh, I can. Put it back.
Okay, that is the most ordinary name I could think of right there. Thomas Jones.
I can make it bigger.
There we go.
I already made it bigger once because I wanted to see what it looked like.
There we go.
Let's compare it. Hold on.
I mean, I don't have a sword, afro, though, but you know.
And you didn't want the afro?
Well, I didn't think about using the one just literally from the book. I guess that would have worked too. I could have just screen clipped that.
Weird. It doesn't. Okay.
Yeah, it's updated. I see it says Thomas Jones.
There it is.
It's spelled the normal way, not my way.
Yeah, exactly.
My dad was weird.
It's not Tomas.
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 My dad liked Latin. But giving me my name, because my parents wanted to give me my initials, I needed a T middle name. And they didn't want to give me something normal. And my dad went, I like Latin. Let's take the Latin version of Thomas. Yep, Tomas. There's my history. Okay. Mill is our cleric. Amelia is our fighter. This is so I don't forget who people are.
I think Susan was going to be the cleric.
Yes, I am the cleric.
You are the magic wizard.
Yes. Typecast again.
Magic user mage.
Now, is it okay if I change a little part of the background on the poor kid?
Like I have said, the backgrounds are just completely for giving you ideas of what you want to do with it. Oh. You don't have to follow them to any letter or T. If you're looking at the back, I don't even have the backgrounds.
Because, see, here's the thing. The dates we're talking about, you know, you put in here, you got out after only, for the poor kid, they went to jail. But think about what 1968, that means we would have graduated high school in 1968. Where does a poor kid go to get out of going to jail?
Oh, yeah, you went to NOM.
I went to NOM.
That's true.
So we'll say I did a 4-year stint in Vietnam, and then I come back to town, and for the last 6 years, I've been running a locksmith shop. This is my homage to Larry Elmore, the artist who shared many stories with me about Vietnam.
I got a lot of my dad's stories for that.
Well, Larry, you saw the documentary, Greg. Did you see what Larry, do you remember what Larry talked about Vietnam? I don't know if it made it into the document.
Some of it did.
They were going to make him a tunnel rat because he's a small guy. So that meant he had to go down to the tunnels. And that's deadly. You go crazy digging down into the tunnels because the Viet Cong would hide underground in tunnels. And basically, you had to go in and try and figure them out. And that's what they were going to make him do. And he said, no, I'm an artist. And so they said, okay, you can do all these schematics for us. So one of the most famous fantasy artists in the world, you can see some of his artwork on my wall here, Larry Elmore, basically became an artist to that degree he is to keep from, now my camera's crazy, he did that to keep himself out of having to become a tunnel rat in Vietnam. And so, I have scans he sent me of a lot of his military pics of things he drew from that era.
Do any of the other three of you have any background things for what you've been doing for the last 10 years?
I'm springboarding off of the provided background. Running my own CPA shop, but I'm really, really good at it and really good at investing. So I only have to actually work maybe 20 hours a week. And I spend all the rest of my time building an elaborate model train diorama in the basement.
Nice. Now, are you coming back to town or are you going to have been living there the whole time?
I think I went away to college and then came back to town to start up the accounting practice.
Okay.
And I was held back twice in school because I was so bored. So I'm a little bit older than everybody else, just like maybe 2 years.
So were you the guy who bought a spear in high school?
Could be.
Maybe. Maybe not. He won't tell. Okay.
I would have had a reputation as a slacker, so maybe so, because C's and D's student, even though I was brilliant.
Oh, yes. The smart kid problem.
Not at all like my real life.
Cough, cough, cough.
I'm channeling the life I could have had. I told you guys saw in the chat, I'm like, I grew up a poor, weird kid. Where do I fit in?
Yeah. Can I be more than one of these?
I'm multi-classing already. Here we are. And you could not multi-class back then. I'm like, yes, let me be a cleric thief, please.
Okay, fat lot.
Yeah.
There we go.
Wrong row of keys there. Yeah. Okay.
This is why I love Google Docs. You can see what everybody is typing as they type it, which means you all see like my double words and bad spelling. I like how some of you, I typed it up for you while you were talking, and some of you are typing it up for yourself. That's nice.
Yeah, I was putting all of mine in a
bad habit.
My I own to look notes. Up my third oh, screen that's fine too. So I can see everything.
For the listeners, because I actually haven't said Elia aloud yet, Amelia is a. She's a roller derby competitor, and she was on a scholarship in college. Because it turns out that's actually a thing. There is collegiate roller derby. I didn't know that was real.
Did not know that.
That is a thing.
I didn't either.
And she almost was able to go pro, but didn't quite get there. And so now she works in her dad's sporting goods store, which is like not dissimilar because like my dad worked in a sporting goods store when I was a kid.
And this is after being the fat kid.
Yes, this was after being she was the fat kid. And then she, I think it's the concept is like, hit high school, got real tall, and a coach said, hey, come do the thing. And that thing in this case was roller derby.
I think that was called a horse girl, because I think there's always just been horse girls, Emma. Does that sound about right?
It is different from a horse girl, oddly enough.
Now it is.
It is niche. It is even more niche than horse girls.
Okay. I'm going to let some of this stuff come out and play too, which is why I'm not reading it all word for word, especially to go fast for time-wise. One of you, or at least one of you, has to be related to Uncle Frank, because Uncle Frank is your uncle.
He can't be the town's adopted uncle. He's just everyone's uncle.
I was thinking about that, Emma, is that he's Uncle Frank, but we don't know whose uncle he is.
Yeah, he's we someone's think he's uncle, everybody we just don't else's know whose uncle. Uncle he is.
I like that.
You know, it's like,
we're all like 30, know, and he's like, wait, I thought he was your uncle. No, I thought he was your uncle.
Wasn't he yours?
He's definitely your uncle. He's definitely not my
Bill's
uncle.
Uncle. I always thought he was Bill's uncle.
Frank's not related to anyone in the town.
Frank just showed up one day.
Frank's not real. Frank's an alien.
His first name is Uncle.
Yeah.
So making that joke actually opens up to our next thing.
Crap. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You actually,
I actually wanted to know. I wanted to know what this meant on the paper, to be fair. So
which thing?
The one you're doing next.
Okay. Yeah, you actually segued to that really well. So this is going to be a little bit of meta information for you. As more of the magic-y area stuff leaks into the real world, some things start turning into what they actually are. I'm not going to go into any more detail than that, but like people who are descendants of elves might actually turn back into an elf. Or if you are like a descendant of an elf or a dwarf or something, while you're going through the dungeon, you might slowly start taking on a more elven or dwarven appearance and stats.
So basically what you're saying is we are the precursor to Shadowrun.
I was going to say Animorphs, but whatever.
Well, that's the whole premise of Shadowrun. It's a TTRPG where everyone... has reverted back to their original fantasy race from which they're descended. Or in some versions of it, when magic reentered the world, people got changed. So yeah, that's the premise of Shadowrun.
I figured at least somebody was going to say yes to this question, but somebody's going to say yes.
I'm not going to go full capital letters yes like Brian did, but I am going to go yes.
Oh, okay. I'm full capital letters. Yes,
I'm fine with. Wait, do we?
Because well, see, I don't feel human anymore after spending 4 years in Vietnam. I don't.
Oh, feel that anymore. This is fair.
So that's actually
deep
gonna
psychological
open up.
Stuff.
So there's actually going to be a second question to this. Do you want to like decide now what that is going to be, or do you want me to surprise you with it later? Basically, I roll a die. And you find out later, like as you're walking down and somebody points out your ears are getting pointy and you're getting shorter.
I'm going to say I want to decide for myself.
Okay. If you want to decide for yourself, just put it there with your name.
Because it's what it's dwarf, elf, halfling. Isn't there one more?
Iron Falcon, I think, has.
Was it half elf? I had the book open. I don't remember what it was.
Dwarfs, halfling, elves, and half elves.
Okay.
And humans. You're already humans, though, so.
Actually, you know what?
It does not limit it, Brian. Okay. Because it fully changes your appearance, so if you become, like, a halfling, you might start walking and your pants don't fit anymore.
I had to request access to the document.
Oh, I am sorry.
Yeah.
I have a question about the next question.
Just a second.
Yeah. I have something that needs clarification before I answer that.
Yeah, if you want to ask your question, go for it. I'm just typing up.
I'm just going to see. Would we come back as someone else?
Well, there's two ways it could be. One, there could be the ability to completely like resurrect your character.
Oh, okay, sure.
But that's expensive and rare.
Sure. So new character?
That which is highly likely.
Okay, which so as long as new characters included, that's fine.
Yeah. It's not like you would be out of the game. This isn't Dark Dungeons.
Right. And I figured not, but I figured I should ask.
Okay, Brian. I'm sorry, Brian. I know why you took half elf now. I think, maybe. Half elves can multi-class.
That was not on purpose, but ooh.
Yeah.
They are the only one that can.
Oh, are they? Okay.
There we go.
Actually, I think I sometimes I get the Iron Falcon and the basic fantasy RPG rules mixed up.
There we go.
I'm using it as the excuse for why she got tall all of a sudden.
Oh, you think elves are tall?
Yes. Always.
An elf is 5 foot tall.
Oh, that makes me sad. Oh, well, that's fine. Humans see, I won't shrink
are
as
the tallest.
I won't shrink as much because I'm only half elf.
Yeah, humans are the tallest race.
That's kind of terrifying. Okay.
Halflings are the shortest. Then dwarves, sure. Then elves, sure. Then half-elves, then humans.
Interesting.
Yeah. Elves are only about 5 feet tall.
I just want to know when we roll for stats, man.
Right now.
Hey.
Two of you still have answering that question. And again, if it's no, that's fine. I know we kind of talked about it earlier, but you might not necessarily want, like, you might want it to exist if it's possible, but not necessarily in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it exists in the world for the others, but you might not want it for yourself because, like I said, you might become, like, it is possible you become more attached than you do to other characters.
It's like the reference I'll make is the Pokemon Nuzlocke. Where you have to, like, it's a specific way of playing through a Pokemon game where the expectation is that you can only catch a single Pokemon in each area. You have to name all of them so that you get attached to them. And if they faint a single time in battle, you have to put them in the storage system and you can't ever use them again. And you see how far you can get through the game without losing all of your Pokemon.
Oh.
But the intention is for you to get attached to them so that you feel it more when you lose them.
And if you get completely knocked out because all six you have on you get knocked out, it's game over.
Period.
Yeah.
One of the better explanations is, if you know who Jaden Animations is, very popular YouTuber, their video on the first time they did it is hilarious. But it's a good look at it from an outsider's perspective. I've not done a ton of them, but they are very interesting.
I've been watching Jaden's videos on her birds recently.
Just love the birds.
And how they laid eggs when they weren't supposed to. Or be able to.
Don't overthink it. It's not important. All right, let's roll some dice. Or will you roll some dice?
since we're choosing the classes, we get to put our ability scores.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to say. We're not going to go just rolling down the line.
Okay.
I didn't put this on the list, but how, like, I'll tell you how I normally do it, but if we want to do some more modifications, we can. Like I said, we're not going down the line because you're choosing your classes. But normally for something like this, I would do each stat is four, is you roll your six rolls, put them wherever you want, and each roll is going to be 4d6, drop the lowest.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you get a higher chance, but you don't get super overpowerful.
Right. Okay. Let me go get dice. Hold on.
If you want to throw rolls in the session zero notes, just so you can keep track of them, or roll them on roll 20 so you can see them, whatever you want to do. I trust you all. I am not going to be a stickler for forcing you to use
roll 20. I'm going
to
drop this on the desk and see if it actually
roll it. Picks up. Let's see how roll 20 does for me. I may get mad at it.
All right, let's see. Ah, that shows up like that. Cool.
Do I have enough d20s or d6s for this? No.
So yeah, that would be a 13 and an 8.
So you said roll four, drop the lowest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or if you look what Brian is typing, he is showing the thing to type in to make it automatically roll 4d6 and keep the highest 3.
Oh, nice.
I'm rolling real dice because that's more fun.
Again, I trust you all to do that. I am fine with that.
I have 3d6.
Wow.
No. Actually, I have a couple of other d6, but they're not nice. Actual d6. A planar die from Magic the Gathering isn't correct.
Okay. Statistically speaking, your spin down from Magic the Gathering is going to roll the same as a regular d20. The only difference is the d20 opposite sides add up to to 21.
Right.
A spin down won't do that, but it still has 20 sides.
So that's... Oh man, I haven't rolled for ability scores in a hot minute.
Yeah, because we didn't roll for them for Wander Home.
No, we didn't. There aren't any.
Yeah, all you got was me calling you mummy.
Yes, which is weird that you were going to go with it. Yeah, D6 mil.
For those of you that haven't listened to Wander Home, spoilers. Wander Home. Well, it's from session zero.
This is not true.
Spoilers.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that one.
Are you my mommy?
Yeah, Greg's character has decided that my character is his mother. And she's embracing that.
My character, the little
chaotic
child,
penguin.
The yes. Little happy-go-lucky penguin is like the most depressing character I've ever made.
He really is, man. Like, for what should be an adorable penguin, like, it's kind of a dark character.
It's so dark. I think it's the darkest character City on the Hill's ever seen.
I think I just rolled one of the most mid characters ever.
Same. Big same.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, there's not a ton of difference in like higher numbers.
Oh yeah, I know.
I've got 2 14s, 3 10s, and an 8.
That's actually fairly good.
Okay. I actually did roll good. I have 2 13s, a 14, 11, 12, 12. Yeah. So
no, I think arguably the darkest character in terms of backstory would be John. Jenny's character from season 2.
I misread one of my numbers. That's a 10. One of my stats is a 10. Okay. Let me go back and look at
something. Greg, for my purposes, 12, other 14. Than strength, what important to Ryan?
Con and dex.
For fighter? Okay.
Because if you do end up doing a ranged weapon, a missile weapon, you will want some dex in there, and con is useful for health.
Okay.
I just put mine down the line as I rolled them and then swapped my highest into intelligence.
Okay.
Since everything else was pretty close to average. It was...
All right, here we go. Strength is 13.
Okay.
Intelligence is 13. Wisdom is 11. Con is 12. Dex is 14. Charisma is 10.
And Derek will help us with armor class related things, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we can go with negative armor class if you want, but there's a really easy conversion online if you want to keep it as a positive armor class while still adhering to the spirits of the rules. That's up to you.
I'm fine with the negative, with the way it is for Iron Falcon, because I think it's a fun thing to learn.
Yeah.
And especially because all the monsters have that listed. I don't want to have to think about the math every single time I do a monster. Besides some monsters that are from Basic Fantasy that I'm converting over into Iron Falcon because they do not exist in Iron Falcon, but I want them because I love them from Basic Fantasy RPG. But I also don't know if you're going to find yourself actually fighting them, so their AC might not even matter. And for our Thief and Cleric, there is your Turn Undead and Thief abilities. And for our Mage and our Cleric, there are the spells our Cleric has. Our Mage does not have any spells yet, and our Cleric doesn't even have any spells at level 1, so it doesn't matter.
How do we do armor class? Oh, we don't have armor.
Yeah.
Or we still have an armor class, though, don't we?
Yeah.
So it, would it just be 0? Yeah. I don't understand that system.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying we'll defer to Eric.
And there's armor class. The book has armor classes based on what kind of armor you're wearing.
Yeah, which is why we also have the alternate rule of AC affecting your armor class.
Yeah, here's the thing on that chart, Emma. Basically, just start at an armor class of 0.
Okay, that's what I was.
And what an armor class of 0 is, that's your 0 is considered one of the hardest armor classes to hit. So whatever your target number is on that chart, that's what you have to roll on a d20 to hit them. So there's my screen. So if you have if it takes you a 0 to hit an armor class of, I mean, if it takes you a 20 to hit an armor class of 0, you have to roll a 20, but you add your modifiers to that roll. So if you're rolling a d20, and you have a you have a +1 because you're good at ranged attacks, and you've got a +1. You roll that d20, you'd have to roll a 19 to hit it. Well, at early levels, you're probably not going to be seeing a lot of creatures in armor class of 0. So your target number is 20, but in armor class of 1, your target number is 19. Armor class of 2 is 18, and it just goes down 1 for each armor class level. So the way we did it in old school is the GM would ask you, hey, what does it take for you to hit an armor class of 7? So if you said, and you have the chart in front of you, say, it'd take you a 13 to hit an armor class of 7. You roll your d20 and you add your modifier to it. Most people, if they don't want to mess with it, the DM just keeps the chart in front of them and just says, hey, what'd you roll? And they tell you whether you hit or not, because that can be part of the mystery. So you don't know the number you need. You don't know your target.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that reminds me of another fun question for you all of how much in the spirit of the original do you want to do? Do you want to roll your own skills, or do you want me to roll them and tell you what your character thinks happens?
I like it when you roll them.
So that way, when like the thief rolls move silently, I make the roll.
Yeah.
I know whether or not they succeed, but I tell the thief how well they think they are moving silently. I'm going to move silently down this hallway. I make the roll. You feel your footsteps softly hitting the floor. As far as you know, you've succeeded. Yeah. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
Curious.
Very.
Yeah, old school. I'm normally a really nice DM, but for old school games, I'm not as nice. I'm still going to be nice with HP for your first level, because
Are you going to roll that? Or are we?
For first level, no matter the system, I like doing max HP for first level, because you can't roll dead that way. It is entirely possible to roll a dead character if you roll first level HP.
Depending on where you put your con.
Because if you have a 1 and a negative con, you might end up with -1 health.
That's helpful.
Yes. So
the max of the hit die
So yeah, plus you have like modifier. A d6 plus con. Just, and then every level after that will be rolling the die. That way you don't die, because it is entirely possible in older systems to roll up characters that are non-viable. They cannot do anything because their stats are so bad. Like, it is entirely possible to roll characters that can't wield weapons or wear armor or no spells at the same time.
Heavens. Okay, so for con, you don't get to a plus one from con until you get to at least 15, correct?
Yes.
So I'm 14 con and a d8 hit die, so I just have 8 hit points.
Yes.
Okay.
You see why, like, starting max is very important, because you might roll zero, you might roll one hit point. I think I've actually have played this where they roll, not this one, but Basic Fantasy RPG. I think I did that one with Brian, where they rolled and somebody ended up with 2 hit points.
Wait, I'm so confused. How do we determine hit points?
So whatever your hit die is for your class.
Okay, 1d6.
So you just have 6 hit points. What's your okay. Constitution score?
Yeah, what's your Constitution?
13.
Okay, that's a plus 0. So you have 6 hit points.
Great.
I'm assuming no one has a negative constitution score, and probably no one has a positive one either. From a bonus perspective.
I don't know how to... How are the bonuses determined in this?
If your constitution is between 3 and 6, you have a minus 1. 7 to 14 is a 0. 15 and 16 are a 1. 17 is plus 2.
Okay,
and 18 is plus 3.
I understand fully now how this is
yes.
organized. Yeah. I see. I understand.
These aren't my 5e numbers, unfortunately.
Yes, yeah, so this is not every 2 points. Like, it is seven points of plus 0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
rolling a character who is not alive as possible.
That seems like a yeah. Well, yeah, I thought about swapping, because you can swap points. Like, I thought about swapping 2 points of intelligence for a point of strength, but it would still put me at 15, which doesn't change anything.
Yeah, it's not really worth it. Yeah, that's in there, but I didn't feel like bringing it up because it's not really
worth it. In a lot of cases, I think it's not going to help anybody.
Yeah, so I'm like, if you want to, you can, if you want to read it and do that, but it's not.
I think they may have put an extra line on the character sheet for thieves' abilities.
It is on there at the. Let me.
Well, no, I found it, but there's like one spot that, you know, if you look at the thieves' abilities, you'll see what I'm talking about. You got open locks is above, remove traps is above, pickpockets, move silently.
Because most of the ones on fighter are on the line below.
I see what hide in shadows.
Your noise doesn't have a roll button on it.
It's a d6 roll.
Curious.
Yeah, it's a d6 roll. Yeah.
Yeah, your move silently is going to be...
Yeah, move silently is 10, which I put in there. And then
most apparently should be 20.
Oh, okay. I see what I did. No, yeah, first, yeah.
Yeah, open locks you swapped with pickpocket, so it's 20. Pickpocket is 15. Remove traps is 10. Hide in shadows is 10.
Yeah, there we go. I got it now. I saw the one I wasn't.
And climb walls is 87. Yeah, climb walls is easy. Everything else is hard.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Until you reach level 22.
That would be impressive.
So, quick rundown on how some of this stuff works. If it's a percentile, you want to roll that number or lower. If it's some number listed like 1 through 2, 1 through 3, 5, 6, 6, something like that, that's the number you want to roll on a d6. So, looking at the thief's abilities, for our thief here, open locks is 20. There will be a D100 rolled as long as it's a 20 or below. Thomas succeeds. For trying to hear a noise, it would be a D6, being level 1 is a 1 to 2. So as long as they roll a 1 to 2, and again, this is me rolling it for them, they will know the 1 to 2 is the success. And for our mage, you have no spells yet. You will get spells next session in special ways. Woo!
Yay.
Same way our cleric will get a book.
Okay, now what?
Saving throws are important as well. Now, this name of the saving throw, don't let it scare you. It's just what that affects. Like, there's death ray. You might roll a lot of save for death rays. It doesn't mean you're actually being hit by a death ray.
Yeah.
It's just that type of thing. And since they're different types of magic, they affect differently. So,
and like those numbers start on page 18 if you've got the full PDF.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, something else about it, I'm pretty sure Iron Falcon does this, but like, say, if you're a dwarf, you get a bonus on your saves for poison. Mm-hmm. But there's something else. Dragon Breath, for instance, you have to save versus Dragon Breath. That could be some type of gas that came out and is going to choke you. So you would say, oh, save against Dragon Breath. Or the DM or referee can choose to say, oh, save versus poison. It just depends on what the referee chooses. Now, if you have bonuses, like Wisdom will give you Wisdom, I believe it is, gives you a bonus on magical saving throws. So if you get a dragon breath and it's an actual dragon that's breathing at you, you get the magical saving throw. But if it's just natural gas, you don't get the saving throw for dragon breath. I've had to reacquaint myself with these rules for the games I'm about to run. In a couple of weeks.
And there's a note section at the bottom to put that stuff in.
Okay.
So there were lots of clunky, fiddly bits. I prefer now just in a lot of games, just saying, hey, roll me a constitution saving throw. But it is a much more evocative if you say, give me a saving throw for dragon breath.
This is true.
Yeah, it doesn't have like the six... other the three or six stats depending upon how it's using. I'm trying to find an example with a spell like Earthquake, which is a 7th level cleric spell. Basically, you cause an earthquake to occur and the creatures in the affected area must save versus death ray. Earthquake is obviously not death ray, but it's going to use that save.
I decided to go ahead and use that alternate stat shifting rule to knock my intelligence all the way up to 18.
Ooh,
nice.
And that's as high as it goes.
It's as high as
that's
it goes.
So that's going to help you with spells very much.
And it leaves my wisdom still at 11, so that's not bad.
Still a zero.
Zero either way. This is true. All right, what else do we need to do before we wrap up, Greg?
I think that's it. If y'all want to get me photos, that's fine. Or if you want to upload your own photos and tokens, because with Roll20, you can now upload your own. The GM is not the one who has to do it. You can upload your own, so you can make it, upload it. I think that about does us well. We got to answer all the questions. You got
I may do some of that ability score shifting.
Yeah, I may also. I'm looking at the math.
Okay. Yeah, that's all. Up to you if you want to.
We'll have it sorted before next time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good.
None of that needs to be done on the mics. Like I said, you might even like decide, I like this character too much. I don't want to risk death. I'm going to roll up something else.
I am attached. All right. Well, thank you guys. Greg, thank you. Course, I am
thank
intrigued.
You. Thank you so much. This looks awesome.
Yeah, whenever I started planning this, one of my first thoughts was, this is right up Derek's alley.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, I think you were the first person I reached out to after Ryan.
That's awesome. Well, I am honored to be a part of this. I'm excited.
I have another player that might eventually join us, but he is currently recovering from illness and is not up to doing sessions on mics yet.
Ooh.
So once he is getting better, he may join us then, depending upon where we are at and his time and how he is feeling.
Fair enough.
If it's who I think you mean, ooh.
It's Mike.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, that's what I figured you meant.
Yeah.
It'd be very interesting having both Mike and Derek in the same game.
And Mike and you in the same game.
Well, I've been in the same game with Mike a lot of times.
This is true.
I've been in the same game as Mike and Brian. Like I said, I at least want you all to complete the first dungeon, and then we can go from there of what's next. Either putting the game on hold, doing more stuff in the city, going on to the next things. The book has a few other things, and there's always a lot more that can be. But I don't want to give too much meta information, because, yeah, I want you to discover things.
I'm afraid, but that's normal.
It's me talking. Of course you're afraid.
He's not wrong. He's out of line, but he's right.
We'll do the sign off, and then I'll do my 70-year anniversary story.
Yes. So thank you so much for listening to City on a Hill Gaming. Links to all the people and all the things in the description down below. Greg, remind me to put links to all the things in the description down below.
Yep.
We're normally pretty okay about that. And yeah, check out our Wonder Home game, our Kingmaker game, which is Pathfinder, and this Iron Falcon game, and more things to come. There's a list. Is there a list? I think there's a list. There's probably a list.
There's
not
a list.
I need to make a list. We'll make a list later. So thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for listening to City on a Hill Gaming. If you'd like to know more, find us online at cityonahillgaming.com or by sending us an email at cityonahillgaming@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cityonahillgame or find us online at patreon.com/cityonahillgaming. Thanks as always to our Patreon backers, Grizzly Rich, Brian, Sir Lord Epic Name, Andrew, Christina, and Tony. We really thank you guys for everything you do to support the show, and we truly appreciate you. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day.